I asked for tonight to be broken up into two little chunks. Say this is too loud, is it? Is it all right? You can hear me? Yeah, cool. Partly because I've had a couple of things on my heart, really, that I wanted to share with you when John Cooper asked me to speak this evening. There's a couple of things that I wanted to perhaps share with you and perhaps, I don't know, I say challenge, but I don't know. I guess you probably know me well enough to probably realise actually I don't get too nervous public speaking at all. And I don't know whether it's because of the drama stuff I've ever done or whether it's just because I've done it a lot. Not necessarily at church, but I've done it a lot at work. I speak to lots of people and you know, big audiences I have done, and I don't actually find that hard. And people look at me and think, you're weird. But I think probably I am. The thing I am nervous about and what I always get nervous about is actually taking God's word and turning it into something. Because I'm always nervous about the fact that maybe what I'm telling you is a load of old tosh. Because I've got no real theological background other than just reading the Bible. Just the fact that I actually love it. And I love just the words. So I've broken it into two chunks. Because what I'd like to do is I'd like us to spend a little time just talking about two questions. And I'll say the questions in a minute. But before I do that, I want to just... And you'll get a context in this in a minute. You will. You'll understand. That actually, if I was to say... If I was to say to you, this is an Apple Watch. Okay, this actually is a great piece of equipment. I love it. But actually, if I was to turn around and say, Elizabeth, you need to get an Apple Watch. You go... Whatever. Why?
I've got a nice fossil one.
There you go. Fossil one's a nice watch. You'd say, well, whatever. Yeah. You know, I could say certain things. The only reason that you probably, and I don't know whether you would, that if I say, this is how this watch benefits me. This is what it does to me. And then you think, actually, that could benefit me. Then you can start seeing that. Now, for me, what this does for me, is I ride my bike to work most days. Not all the way from Midsummer Norton to Bristol, but I ride half of it about. Because, well, two reasons. One, it's far quicker to get across Bristol on two wheels than it is on four, without any doubt at all. And also, you only got to look at me to realise the other benefits. But what my watch does for me during that is it tracks me. It tells me how fast I'm going. It tells me what my heart rate is. And for me, thinking I want to get better, I think actually that's a good thing. Now, some men maybe who are athletes, and I've got to look at Cooper, man. He's already got his order in for one. And I'm not an athlete, by the way. But that might actually think, do you know what? Actually, that piece of equipment would help me. Because I look at my heart rate when I started riding my bike nearly a year ago across Bristol was around about 158 beats. It used to get to about 158 beats per minute when I was really going for it. And my average speed was about 11.2 miles an hour. Now my average speed got up to 13.8 miles an hour. And my heart rate never goes above about 140. Now for me, I can see there's a benefit. I've seen myself grow, and that is that's how I could sell this watch. If I just read the instructions out to you, you'd go, whatever. Whatever. So the point I'm trying to make is the two questions I'd like us just to talk about for a few minutes amongst ourselves and be prepared to share is that actually, if I was to go out with my Bible and say to somebody who has never, ever come in contact with God, you need this, most of them would go, that looks pretty, why? And then I would stumble. Because I actually probably, there and then, on that moment, I couldn't say, well, it does this for me. And then after a bit of time, I know there may be. But I don't know whether I've got the confidence to do that to just anybody in the street. I certainly haven't got the confidence to say it to my family. Maybe my kids. Maybe my wife. Probably not my dad. Probably not my mum. Brother, sister. Nah, not got the confidence to do that. I don't think. And I've been put in those situations and I've stumbled. I've not been able to say, actually, Jesus does this for me. Like you can remember, we did the Courageous Christian many, many moons ago. And one of the things I took from that, and it was probably the only thing I remember, was the fact that we've got to be ready for that question. So I got myself ready anyway. I've never been able to bring it up. A friend of mine said to me when I was driving him to work one day, he said to me, so why do you go to church? Because, and after a bit of time, I was able to, and he goes, oh, that's nice. Anyway, and we moved on. And one of the things that's been, this is the thing that's been on my heart for a while, is the fact that actually we've got to get ready. And if we can't share it with each other, how on earth are we going to share what God is doing in each of our lives with somebody who we just walk up to in the street? Maybe we find that easier, maybe we don't. This message has got to be relevant to them. Now, making this relevant to Elizabeth, then obviously she's got the second order after Cooper for one now, because she thinks, I want to get a bike and I want to know that I can do 144 beats per minute on my heart. But the point I'm trying to make is it needs to be relevant. So, as part one, now, what I said when we were talking and praying, I'd love, actually, for this to take all of my words, all the second part of my talk later on, which is just around the power of God's word, and it's very simple. I'd love to not have time to do that, because I'd love to hear what God has been doing for you. I'd love to just hear that, because that encourages me. And actually, I have grown the biggest steps in my Christian walk and my faith is when God has done something truly unexpected and amazing that I did not see coming. And I've got a little story that I'm going to share with you in a minute about that. Okay, so what I'd love you to do, if you could, just amongst yourselves, and obviously poor old Alison's by herself over there, so Jonathan Cooper's going to move her, but amongst yourselves, just talk about two questions if you would, and I'd love you to say, actually, I'll come up and say something. Because if we can't do it here, we may struggle to do it elsewhere. And it may be big or small, but I love it. Right, so question number one, very simply, is when has God unexpectedly answered a prayer? Just when you didn't see it come in, you get hit by a railroad train. Now, I've got one of those, which I'm going to share with you in a minute. And then another one I'd just like you to think about, I'd love you to think about, is just, when have you solely trusted God's word in a situation? And again, I've got a little example later on that I'd love to share with you about how I am solely trusting God's words, God's word, the actual physical scripture, in a situation that I'm way out of my depth in. So it'd be good if you could just, I don't know, talk amongst yourself. I'd love to hear some stuff. And then afterwards, I'll share mine with you. And then if you want to, come and share some stuff. And it could be big or small. Okay? Is that all right? Time you 2 minutes. Go. No, have as long as you want. And I'm going to get a cup of tea whilst you do that. Okay, should we come back together? So what I'll do is I'll share with you just a moment of, I use the word unexpected, but obviously we should go into every prayer expecting. But what I'm trying to say, this is what I get afraid of, because I just say what comes into my head. And it isn't necessarily what I mean, but we do pray expectantly. But sometimes the answer is unexpected. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, here's an example that I hopefully will start a few of you off. One, Mr. Hebditch, I'll call him Pastor Matt now because it's easier than just Matt, because there's two of them. And doesn't he? That's even more reason for me to do it. So what should we call the other Matt then? Just the other Matt. We'll call him Matt and the other Matt. Either way, we'll call him Pastor Matt. Daughter Matt, yeah. So, Matthew Hebditch spoke in an evening service not that long ago. I think it was just after his preach to view, if you want to call it that. And he spoke about just the Holy Spirit coming into a situation. I don't know whether you can remember that. You may or may not be able to remember that. And I sat where Teresa was at the back there. And I got, you know, I've got teenage kids, so every moment of my life is exciting. Yeah, that's not maybe the word that I'd use, but it is. And, you know, whatever you do for your children, actually, you just want to control them down your way. And actually, all they want to do is go over here and go that way. And you want to pull them back because you know best. Anyway, so I've got, Josh is 18, and I want to control him back to my way. I want him to do what I want him to do. So we have a tussle, like you do. He's 18 at the end of the day. He's a man now, and he can do whatever he wants. Not in my head, though, but in his head. So I'm having a little difficult situation with him at the moment, and actually, I've always loved him, but I didn't necessarily like him at that point. Now, I think somebody said that to me many, many years ago. You'll always love your children, but you won't always like them, without any doubt at all. So I was having this little funny old tussle, but anyway. So I was taking him to his, after that very service, prayed for a Holy Spirit to come into this situation. And so I would sit with my head down, quietly going, Lord Jesus, you know what I've got to do here? I don't know what to do anyway. And then my mind would daydream about what's going on during the work, during the rest of the day. Oh yeah, and tomorrow morning I must remember to oil my gears before I leave tonight. Lord Jesus, please come into this situation. Oh yeah, I must remember to take my phone because I think it's, you know what it's like. I don't know, maybe you're different to me. So I was drifting in and out, and I wasn't really expecting an awful lot. Sorry, but I wasn't. Anyway, so And we went off, and I drove him to his friend's house. And by the Radstock Park, I had a feeling. Now, this feeling, with this overwhelming feeling of love for that my son, who's alongside me, this really warm feeling, as if to say, love him somewhere near as much as I love you. That's it. Thinking, okay, unexpected, but thank you. And then the following day was a Monday. He rang me at work. Never rings me at work. I did share a little bit of this at house group. Never rings me at work. And I picked the phone up and thought, oh no, what's happened? Hello, mate, all right, yeah. And that warmth, that love, and I used the words in house group. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed just hearing his voice. I'd forgotten that. And then this overwhelming feeling that God says, I enjoy just hearing your voice. And that's it. And it blew me away. And since that day, I've not found him quite so annoying. And I'd say this to him. I'm not saying anything behind his back because I have said, you know, bits of this to him. And that was just unexpected. Sorry, but it was. I just was not expecting an answer quite like that. That was my unexpected answer to prayer. I'm going to share with you what I meant about God's word a bit later on. So if anybody else, I'd love to hear some more. And as I said, if we didn't have any more time to do anything else tonight, that'll do me. So does anybody want to share anything? I'm not. If nobody does, that's fine. It's cool. And then you'll have to put up with me preaching later on. So please, if there's anything, come up. I'm going to step away for a couple of minutes. And if anybody feels really, if it's suitable silence for more than 25 seconds, then I'll go from there. Thank you, Jill. The first is always the hardest.
I'm hoping I'm not repeating myself to people here, but one of the answers to prayer, I can't say it's totally unexpected because I was really looking for it, but I was so thankful for it when it came. It was quite recently. Some of you may know that About 18 months or so ago, at fairly short notice, I had to find a care home for my sister down in Bournemouth. And it was wonderful the way that things worked together. I had to put a bit of work into it, but things worked together for her to go somewhere where she's being looked after very well. And then in December, my brother was taken ill in Kingston and went into hospital and was found to have lung cancer and needed to be discharged for continuing health care. And it was put to me, I didn't even realise I could do it. It hadn't occurred to me, actually, so perhaps that was an unexpected answer to a prayer I hadn't said. It was put to me that he could move area from Bath to the... from Kingston to the Bath Trust or whatever it is. And I said, great, that would be wonderful. And it was implied that they would try and they would give me a few names of homes to look at. And then somebody came back to me and said, have you found anywhere yet? I said, but no, I haven't really been looking because I just had not got the time yet. It was everything was happening at once. And I said, I did understand I might be given some names. And they said, oh, that's fine, we'll get on to that. So Kingston spoke to the Bath team. Bath team gave them four names of homes. They automatically wrote off the idea of two of them because they looked at the report themselves, the CQC report, weren't happy about it. One of them had no spaces and the other one was what was left. So I thought, right, don't know about that, but we'll go and have a look at it. And I was pleasantly surprised by how suitable it was for my brother, and that's where he's been. And that was a huge relief to me. And they've been looking after him well. He's in hospital at the moment, actually, because he's broken his hip, but it's been so good to have him close by and to have that prayer answered. And, you know, different situation, but God's grace in finding somewhere for him in the same way as somewhere really suitable was found for my sister over 18 months ago. So I thank him for that.
Let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you answer those prayers, Lord Jesus, and I pray for Jill's brother's hip. I pray, Lord Jesus, that everything will just stack up, that everybody will have that peace. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jill. Thank you. Go on, Elizabeth. Everybody will follow you. Don't worry.
Be amazed. I'm going to be brief. My prayers are often unspoken. But when I do pray, it's with expectation. And over the last 3 weeks, God has amazed me. I think we're allowed to be amazed, even though we are so familiar with his responses. As most of you know, I have the privilege of working at a food bank every week and have got to know some of the clients really well. Say 3 weeks ago, a client who hadn't been in for a long time asked if I could possibly find a stairgate and three internal white doors. I put the request into Pews News on the Sunday, and on the Monday I found a stairgate on my doorstep, placed there anonymously. Thank you so much if it was you. Today, somebody offered me an internal white door, two to go. Possibly about 10 days ago, I was asked if I knew anyone with a spare television for a client of hers. And it was too late to go into Pews News, and so I put a notice on my food bank table. That very same morning, somebody said, I think we can give away a spare one. I'll check with my wife. And the next day, before I left the house, that offer was confirmed. And to my amazement, on contacting the person who'd asked me on her client's behalf, I found that this person was bringing the client to the food bank that Monday, so I was actually able to meet the recipient. And the next day, I believe, the television was delivered. really, those two prayers were unspoken because God went before us.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
Right, just very briefly, this is one kind of unexpected, I think, but it's one probably all of us in this room have been a party to this prayer that was answered in an astonishing way, because the circumstances to which we now have a new pastor is an answer to prayer. We had people saying somebody be raised up from within our church. Did anybody see that happening? Realistically, but this guy comes along only to be a part of this church because his girls needed somewhere where they could thrive. Yet, God spoke to him. People spoke to him quite independently, knowing nothing of the situation, saying it is time for you to step back and your pastor's heart is there and it needs to be used. Things that were said to us that God said and spoke into situations. And I think that that's an amazing thing as a church that we've got to be really thankful for, that we didn't just get somebody who's really good to be our new pastor. We got somebody who God raised up, which was the prayer that we started with. So I think that's an answered prayer.
Yeah. I'll call time out, Tony, if it goes on too long, okay. Right? No, can't be too long.
Last Tuesday, we had Powerhouse of Prayer, plus a prayer walk around Sunnymead near Tesco's, if you don't know where Sunnymead is. And at the Powerhouse of Prayer, like I had for quite a while, I prayed for boldness to witness, and I said that so many times that I never expected Father God to answer that prayer. But on Wednesday morning, after breakfast, down the coffee shop, I walked down through the high street towards the bus stop, and a bus pulled up, and I decided to run for it. And I caught it. I didn't even know whether it was going to Wells or where. It was going in the Broadmead, Bristol, as it happened. And I still felt like turning around and coming back halfway when I got nearly halfway on the bus, but I plotted on. I got in the Bristol, had a jacket potato in the galleries. There's loads of calves there. And I picked up a leaflet advertising what's the name of the church?
Which one? The Wesley church?
No, that was closed for the day. St. Mary Redcliffe. Yeah, thank you.
That's it.
Advertising St. Mary Redcliffe Church. So I decided to go there, but I was feeling a bit frail, so I got a taxi. And the taxi driver was... We got chatting about our faith. He was a Muslim from Pakistan. And I wasn't at all fearful, and... It went really quite well, and we both shared what we believed, and I prayed for him before I got out for him to have a dream of Jesus. I left the rest with Father God. I went in St. Mary Redcliffe and had a good look around and had lunch in their calf, another jacket potato with cheese. And they had a big party of 12 people there out for lunch, so I had to wait a while. And I asked them to ring me a cab because it's quite a distance back. Well, I decided to come back to Canesham instead of hitting the centre of Bristol again. They got me a cab, and he was meant to have picked me up inside, but he wouldn't come inside. And the people in the calf told me he was outside waiting, so and they pointed to where he was. Could you get me some water, please?
Yeah, of course.
There's some days.
That's right, I've got it. Carry on. You carry on.
Yeah, thank you. And, anyway.
Don't spill it on my gadget.
No, of course not. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And he was a Muslim too. And I thought, I'm on a row here. and we shouldn't think that. We shouldn't put Founder God in a box. Because he's got a tendency to jump out. anyway, this man was completely different, and he was from Somalia in Africa. And we didn't argue, but I sensed hostility. And we did both share what we believed, but he was very arrogant, and he wouldn't be budged. He didn't even want to listen at times. Anyway, I continued, and we shared a bit about what we both believed. But thankfully, I had the sense not to pray in Jesus' name after any prayer. And I also prayed for him to have a dream. And I prayed for the Lord to bless him and his family, Father God. And he just ripped me off a bit with a taxi fare. But but if some of the message got across, that was worth it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Do you know what? I wish I was just a little bit as bold as Tone. I really do. Thank you, Tony. Anybody else would like to share? We've got another hour yet, so...
So mine is a bit of both, really. So at work, people at house group know that at the start I was a bit difficult because no one there was Christian, and then all of a sudden two people started in my team who were both Christians. But at Christmas, one of them was really struggling. His wife had to go, I think, to Mauritius to look after her father, who was unfortunately dying, and he was left at home looking after his three children. And it was coming up to Christmas, and he was having to work still because he had no leave left. And he was paying for them to be looked after by a childminder, and he didn't really say much, but it became quite obvious that something was wrong. So I had a good chat with him, and you know, he admitted that there was some significant money problems. And you know, so I was praying about it, and I was thinking, you know, this is really difficult. And then he came in the next day, and he was really, really upset. And I was just, you know, what's wrong? And he's just like, you know, I don't have any money to buy the children anything for Christmas, and I don't know what to do. So I remember I went out on lunch, and I was praying about it, and I got this real feeling of, it was almost annoyance. It was just like, God's like, why are you asking me? Do something about it. Yeah. And then I was thinking, me? Well, what do I have to do? So I had a think, and I just thought, okay, well, I can give money myself. I'm lucky enough to be able to do that. But I thought, you know, why not do the second bit, be bold? And so I sent an email out around just our team, all the people that knew him. And I didn't name who it was. I just said, someone needs our help. You know, what can we do? And I think, you know, after the first day, I left a tin on the table, and you know, after one day, there was £150 in there. I was just there, like, you know, between 12 people in our team, and it was just there, like, I was just blown away. And then it also brought so many people to come and ask, like, you know, why did you do it? You know, why? And it's just because you know, I felt that it was something that we should do, because, you know, we need to look after him and his family. And then I said, you know, God told me that I got to step up. And then, you know, it invited lots of other conversations. So it was an answer to prayer on multiple different fronts, because I pray that I can be more bold at work and talk about things like this, because, you know, in where I work, which is for the Ministry of Defence, maybe a lot of people that work there don't listen to God's word and do things that we'd all struggle to comprehend. So, anyway, that's it.
Thank you, Rich. Isn't it brilliant just hearing God work? This is me saying, you need to buy an Apple Watch. This is why people, this is what people need to hear. But I don't share it, other than with you. Has anybody else got anything else to share? Should we leave it there? I think that was a really good one to leave it on, Rich. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Just a few minutes of reflection. It's been great to hear what God has been doing, and we praise God for that. And when God gets us to step out and to do something new, then that's exciting. But sometimes there can be barriers. Yesterday, 11 of the men in the church met for an immense breakfast. That's not describing the size of it, although it was a big breakfast, cooked breakfast, but a sort of follow-up from the Georgian weekend from last autumn. And it was a great breakfast, but we had a real treat of, over Skype, being connected with Chris White in Spain and being able to see him and to hear him. And he posed a question to us there, which was... it was in relation to an exercise we had done at Georgium, where we were thinking of what our dream was, God-given dream. And he posed the question, what is it that's stopping you from achieving that dream? What barriers are there to you achieving that? And it was a little bit of a discussion point. This morning, we had a great message from Jeremy about the prodigal son, quite a different sort of take on that, and particularly looking at the contrast of the older son and his tendency to be thinking in a law way about things and to be a slave to the law of doing that, and the younger son, who obviously had broken all sorts of God's laws and came back wanting to be a slave to his father, but understanding that his father wanted a different relationship with him as his son. It was a powerful message. Listen again if you if you weren't there this morning. But there was that contrast between the way of law and the way of freedom that comes through knowing God our Father in a personal way. And it, those two things, and we've heard tonight from Jason about his relationship with his son as well. And those things caused me to think about some of the stuff I've been reading in Galatians recently, and I hadn't realized just how much of the book of Galatians Paul takes up trying to put the Galatians right, because they had fallen into a trap of wrong teaching. And he says in chapter 5, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" And you'll probably know this, but some wrong teaching had come into the church in Galatia, and people were saying you had to be circumcised to be a true believer and all of this. And Paul uses lots of different illustrations to indicate, no, it's not about law. It's about freedom. It's about grace. It's about faith. And at the beginning of chapter 5, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So whether it is a barrier that we're facing to achieving what God wants to do in our lives, or whether it is a tendency that we have sometimes to slip back and to forget some of the good stuff that we've learnt from God and to start trying to do things in our own strength. Later on in Galatians, he talks about what the acts of the sinful nature are like, but also what the fruit of the Spirit is like. I just thought for just a couple of minutes we would have silence to give us the opportunity of just saying to the Lord, is there anything that is blocking our move with you? And in that way, if God highlights anything personally to us, then we can determine to deal with that and to see it out of the way. If there's a logjam of some sort, to see it moved in order that we can live in the relationship that we should have with our Heavenly Father, in freedom and in the power of the Spirit, and move towards that dream that God has given us for aspects of our lives or for our future. So let's just have a time of quiet where we can consider that. Lord, we're encouraged in the New Testament to run the good race and to seek to win the prize. But we have to admit, Lord, that sometimes things cut in and cause us to be deflected from that race, or barriers come in front of us to prevent us from moving on. We ask your forgiveness for how easily sometimes we use that as an excuse to cease running that race. Just pray, Lord, that for whatever you've shown us that you want to deal with at the moment in our lives, that you will give us the wisdom to know how to lift that to you and to see the power of your Spirit break through in our lives in ways that will enable us to trust your word and the power of your word and to apply it in our lives and to see our prayers answered as we've been hearing about unexpected prayers. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who answers prayer, and we pray that as we sort out the barriers and the trip-ups and all of that, Lord, that we will be so close to you that as we pray, we will be praying according to your will and expectantly looking forward to the answers. We ask this in your name. Amen. George.
I do love hearing those testimonies, and I don't hear them enough. I don't share them enough. And I know there's probably every single person in this room probably could come up here and say something. And I get why people don't, because actually, like I said, I don't find it a problem speaking. I reckon if you got hold of me at the start of a service and said you're preaching, I could talk about something, anything. I'm sure I could. And I'm sure I would appear really confident, probably. But that's just me, and that's the way I'm made. And I wish I had a fraction of Tony's boldness when I walk out the door and talk to the people that I actually love. You know, and just the people I meet. I expect 60 of us in my office. Engineers, senior managers, and they all know I go to church. They all know I'm one of those Christians. And every now and again, they'll say, I knew I could make you swear. Because they know that gets me a little bit. I know, and you have, and I will jokingly, please forgive me. It's not me. But they all know. Not a single of them know why, though. Never asked, I've never told them. So hopefully one day, I hope that one day the words that I speak are purely God's words. I hope one day that in any situation that I'm in, I can do it on behalf of Christ. You know, whatever that situation is, I hope one day that I can be at that bit. But at this moment in the chapter, this part of my walk, there are times when it's easy. There's times when it's hard. And then there's the other times, which is most of the other times. I struggle with many, many things, but I know I'm not alone. absolutely no, I'm not alone. And there was a moment when I was thinking about what I was going to speak about tonight, that actually some of the hardest things I find at this moment, at this chapter, is reading the Bible. Now, I have to have a bit of structure, so I do read it every day. You have my assurance. 6 out of 7 days, without any doubt, I can say that. Maybe 5 out of 7 days without... No, yeah, 6, 7. And weekdays are very easy because I can have a structure. I won't say what I do, but I have a structure that I work to, and I read my Bible. And Friday was a good example when I didn't go at the normal time, at sort of 8, between 8 and 8.30, to my little bit of quiet where I go and hide. I've been in work for about an hour then. I've had a shower, and I'm all energized because I've ridden at 13.8 miles an hour across Bristol with a heartbeat of 144 beats per minute. Watch says that. And I feel quite alive, and I go there, but Friday it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I felt hungry, not for food. I felt hungry just to go in and just take something, and I didn't have time because I got this to do. I thought I just need to go, just read a verse, that'll do. I'll just read a verse, and then I read a bit more. And what I tend to do is I read, I don't know, whatever it comes up, 3, 4, 5, 10. Very rarely a chapter, and then I dive around my different because I've got two Bibles. One is here, the other one is a paper one I came to faith with, which I keep in my bedside table. But on here I've got hundreds of versions of everything, and I love going into all the different study Bibles to see what people's translations are, and just think. So that's my time, and I love that. But if I don't get that, I'm hungry for it, just hungry for the words of God. And the more and more I do it, the more and more I miss it when it's not happening. Sundays is my worst day, I would say, looking at scripture for myself. Partly, which will all change very shortly, no, not quite. Partly is because I'm so busy on a Sunday morning that I don't find that time before I come here. But I've trusted a situation. So I've got a situation in my life. I've got 4 boys. And I'm fearful for what the world is going to bring them, actually. And I want them to go down that path, and they don't. They want to go over there, and I don't want them to go over there. So I promised myself many, many moons ago, and in fact, I'll tell you the date in a second, that actually I'm going to trust God's word solely in their lives. And I'm going to text them every single day a bit of scripture. So I opened up a WhatsApp group messaging, and Tom, Will, Josh and Tracy are on that little WhatsApp. So there's a 5 of us in this little group message, and I send them a scripture every single day. Every now and again, I put, and whoever replies first gets a packet of sweets. Right, so Josh did 15 seconds after I sent it. He said, I don't want the sweets, and I read these before I go to bed. Then I nearly cried. Because that was good. Then Tom then says, but I haven't got any of those. Of course, he got rid of WhatsApp about 6 months previous and not been receiving them for 6 months. Come on, let's get it back on. You've got 65 to catch up on, mate. Better start reading. I don't know whether he does. But I promised myself I would not worry, but I do. I would just present God's word to them, and hopefully they'll read it, and hopefully, like it does with my life, mold me a little bit every time. And I keep thinking of this potter's wheel. This potter working on this chunk of clay. Now, I'm the chunk of clay, as well known in probably, everybody probably realizes that when we're talking about the potter's wheel. And I'm this chunk of clay that gradually is being molded, gradually. And only when I meet Jesus Christ will I be fired and fully perfect. And I accept that. And I do accept that now. But earlier on in my life, I would never. I want to be, because I'm the sort of person who just wants to be good at everything I do. But actually, I'm not. And I've gradually accepted that. So what I wanted to do earlier on was just to try and see whether any of us had moments where We trust in God's word in a situation. And I would imagine, maybe not shared, but I would imagine we all can at some point in our walk. But that's me here and now. I'm trusting my four boys. Well, three, because Ollie's not got a phone because he's nine. That's acceptable. What they do, which is really, really, the older two, not so much anymore. The younger two say, "Dad, come and pray with me before I go to bed." Oh, so it's working. The older two now, they're actually asleep way after me. And if I remember, I'll knock on their door and say, "Can I pray with you tonight?" I usually get, "Yeah, of course." And then I forget for a week. And then I remember. I'm trusting that the pure scripture, rightly or wrongly, this is me, that he will guide them through just prompting them to read it, reminding them in 25 years' time about a certain thing, a certain ridiculous proverb that made me laugh, whatever. And I'm trusting that one day they will find Jesus Christ for themselves and perhaps be this hungry for it, that will one day become more and more. And my hunger for that scripture is becoming more and more. So what I wanted to do I wanted to share my real examples, because one of the things that God's got on my heart at the moment is that our faith needs to be real, because the Apple Watch, we haven't got to sell it to them because that's for God, but actually we've got to show them it's there, and we have to show them that it's relevant, because the world says it isn't anymore. And it does. And I probably would say, I think if we were to go back in time in the DeLorean, back in the back to perhaps, I don't know, 1,000 years ago, I wonder what the balance of faith would have been then. I don't know whether it would be a lot different than now. But I wonder how different it is now, and it probably isn't. Some of the martyrs of times gone by, Paul would have struggled. All these people may well have struggled at the start of their time evangelizing about Jesus Christ. And, you know, I can't speak for them, but I would imagine they had moments. They were human. What I'd like us to do really now, just to sort of bring this time for me and the evening service to an end, it's a little bit later, I would love us just to sort of rest in God's word, and I've been thinking a little bit, especially this afternoon, just about three, maybe four verses that I'd love us just to rest in. But going through my study Bible, I picked up on what God's word is, the characteristics of those God's word, and why I should absolutely believe in them, totally believe in them. It says that God's word is eternal, flawless, reliable, true, endures, alive, active, and will never return empty. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal." Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God is flawless." 2 Samuel 7 28 says, "Your words are trustworthy." John 17, verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the words of God will stand forever. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Nice and easy to remember. So my words that go out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I'm sent. What I'd like to do now is just take a moment, take some quiet. I'm going to read three verses, one at a time, and I'd love us just to rest in pure scripture. And maybe, boldly I say, maybe that these three random verses just mean something to you today or tomorrow, or will bring you back to a place or do something for you after today. Just pure scripture. So I'm going to start with Matthew 24. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. See, I have told you ahead of time, heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never pass away. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. And John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Amen. Holy Spirit, be with us this week. If there's anything in this, Lord Jesus, I pray that people just remember, that I remember especially what I have said and apply it to my life. Father, you know I have big things this week going on, and I pray that I search your word in all of that. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. To finally close, this year for me is a year of change. After 9 years, I'm stepping down as a deacon. It's supposed to go, ah. Thanks. I get the sense that God's going to do something different with me this year. And it starts tomorrow morning. And if you want to know, I'll share it with you, but I won't share it over the... I'd share it privately, but I won't share it necessarily over the thing. Okay. May God bless you all.